Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I remember just making the same noises kind of over and over again. No need.
What three wrestling matches would you watch if you were stranded on a desert island? This is what I'm asking wrestling's best. In the ring, around the ring, behind the scenes, or behind a microphone. I'm Tom Campbell. Thank you for joining me on Cultaholic Island for another episode of Desert Island Graps.
Finally, I'm rid of LK Mezinger. Which means finally, I'm free to focus on me. There's no Bolarama, there's no nothing to prove, and there's no experiment in terror. At the first annual Embassy Bingo Cortez Invitational Classic, I stand alone. Which means for once, the odds are actually in my favor. At Mistletoe, I was dominant beyond any doubt. And the classic? It's gonna be no different. 2020 is the year of Elijah. And I'm gonna prove it.
Elijah, how are you doing?
Hey man, how are you?
All good this end. More importantly, are you doing all right over there in Cardiff?
I'm doing okay, yeah. I've got plenty of nice fields and sheep to walk in, so I'm keeping busy.
Don't walk in sheep, they've told you about that. you're a guy who goes to the gym quite a bit normally. You've said before like you've got quite a strong gym regimen. How have you coped with the gyms being shut?
It's definitely been a struggle, to be honest. We had a sort of brief couple of months where they were open again, which was really nice. But I'm back to the living room gym for now.
What do you use to improvise in the living room gym?
Well, I got myself a little flat bench online. I managed to get a cheap one, so I'm using that. And then it's mostly just been a deck of cards, unfortunately. And
a
just
deck of cards? Numbers.
Yeah, so you pick an exercise for each suit in the deck. And then you pick a card and whatever number's on the card, you do that number of exercises.
Okay, so off the top of my head, if I was to have the deck of cards for you and I was to pick out the three of clubs, what would that be?
Oh, well, you'd have to decide beforehand.
Oh, okay. I thought you had like a set of rules as to, oh, if it's that, then you run around the block 27 times. It is. How do you stay sort of mentally in the game during a time like this, a time that we live in?
For me, probably mostly it is exercise that kind of keeps me sane. So as long as I'm doing something to kind of work on my fitness, work on myself every single day, then that's kind of keeping me going, to be honest. And just the hope that soon we'll be back wrestling.
It feels every day we're getting a little bit closer to that happening. By the end of our conversation today, we're going to be desperate to get back to it because we're going to be talking all about it. But before we do that, we have to send you onto a desert island, Elijah. That's what's happening today. And to go with you to the desert island, we're burning a DVD of three wrestling matches that you can watch whilst you are there. Matches that may not be the greatest wrestling matches of all time, but matches that may have a significance to you, something personal to you and a connection to different times. So what would you like your first match to be, Elijah?
My first match, I've chosen Triple H versus Cactus Jack. Street Fight from Royal Rumble 2000.
One thing mankind is not ready to face you in a street fight at the Royal Rumble in Madison Square Garden. But I think the bands deserve a substitute in that match. I think you know the guy. His name is Cactus Jack.
Cactus Jack is back. Drastic times call for drastic measures. Triple H forced Mick Foley to metamorphosize into Cactus Jack.
This guy's psychotic. He's homicidal.
What I am is one bad son of a bitch.
Cactus Jack is as hardcore as anybody could ever be.
Mick Foley, your blood will stain New York City. I promise you that. So at the Royal Rumble, you're gonna make me bleed. It will not be the first time, and it sure as hell will not be the last.
And for a man that has wrestled on nails in barbed wire, it'll be a day at Central Park.
Do you think Triple H knows what the hell he's gotten himself into for the Royal Rumble?
You look into my eyes and realize I'm gonna tear you apart in New York City.
The title will.
How old would you have been when you saw this match for the first time?
I was 9 years old, and I remember it because this was the first wrestling show I ever saw.
What led you to watch it in the first place?
Well, so the way that I got into wrestling was basically through, we would have toy day at school. I don't know if you had that at your school.
Yeah, like the last day of term or something, you could bring in toys and games and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, so some of the boys in my class started bringing in wrestling figures and a wrestling ring. And I didn't really know what it was, but I'd kind of join in and play along. And then my one friend was like, oh, I've taped this show. It was on Channel 4 last night. Do you want to come and watch it so you can learn like what wrestling is? So I went to his house, and it was Royal Rumble 2000. And that was the first time I ever really saw wrestling.
What were your first impressions of watching wrestling?
It was just super exciting to me, like, because there's such a variety of matches on that particular pay-per-view. And obviously you've got the Royal Rumble, so it's a great introduction of, here's 30 characters. Mm. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, okay. So this is wrestling, cool. And that match for me just stood out because, as a 9-year-old watching wrestling, there's so much like blood and violence in that match. But I've watched it so many times since, and at different periods in my life, it's kind of, I've looked at it in different ways, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Talk to us about some of the ways in which you've watched that match then, and what you've taken from it in different ages in your life.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So I obviously, watching it as a child, it was just kind of a shock factor, really. But I remember just thinking that Mick Foley was the coolest person in the world at that point. And then going back and watching it kind of in my late teens and kind of starting to see, okay, well, there's a good guy and a bad guy element to this story, and understanding it from that perspective of, you know, the storytelling of the match more so. And then even more recently, watching it back again, I watched it back during the lockdown. And looking at it from the point of view of a wrestler and breaking it down even more, it's like there's so much detail in that match. It's so good.
It's a really rich match, and it's just full of little moments. Is there something, you watched it recently in lockdown, is there a little something that you watched from match that when you watched it in lockdown hits different to when you watched it for the first time?
It's a tricky question. Only from the point of view of just not being able to wrestle myself and kind of like seeing what they did. And, you know, you take on ideas from that then, you know, things. I'm
What's an idea that you took from that match?
It's not so much an actual kind of segment of the wrestling as such, but just the way that Triple H carries himself in that match. You know, he's like, it's just when they've started to give him that big heel push, he's got Stephanie McMahon by his side, and he just looks like the most badass guy ever. And then at the end, he's got a face covered in blood, but he did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so cool.
There was something, there is an art to Triple H at that point is as a heel who just bounces around for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the art of making someone else look good in turn makes you look good as well.
Oh yeah, definitely.
9-year-old Elijah watching wrestling for the first time on Channel 4. What questions did you have at the end about wrestling?
Is that guy okay? Was the first one.
I think, yeah, I would probably be my first one as well.
I'd never seen kind of like blood and gore in my life at that point. Do you know what I mean? So it was like, that. I mean, his face is covered in blood at the end, Triple H. It was shocking to me, but just so exciting at the same time.
It was a moment. It was. Let's talk about you growing up. You're from Cardiff, from a beautiful part of the country in Wales. What was, when you've discovered wrestling at the age of 9 and you wanted to experience more of it, what was the scene like when you were growing up, where you were growing up?
Well, for me at that point, it was mostly just kind of recording onto VHS from like 1 in the morning when the pay-per-views were shown. So I remember I'd always ask my mum's partner at the time, who had Sky Sports, can you tape this show for me? Can you tape this show for me? And I'd be like calling him up the night before, like, please, have you set the tape? Please tell me you set the tape. I don't want to miss it. And then I'd watch it with my breakfast the next day and just be so excited for wrestling. And I was kind of like that then from the age of 9 to about 13, just didn't miss a pay-per-view. There was no way I was missing a pay-per-view. On the rare occasions that they were the bigger ones on Sky Box Office, I'd just do everything I could to somehow get hold of that as soon as possible.
When do you remember going to your first wrestling show live?
I went to a WWE house show in Cardiff Motor Point Arena. It was actually quite a while later. I want to say it was 2008.
So how old would you have been then?
18.
So you went quite late to your first live wrestling show.
Mm-hmm.
How did it come about that you went to that show?
I had a friend who was also into wrestling, kind of the end of high school. And we were just talking about wrestling all the time, like the wrestling that we'd seen when we were younger. Because I stopped watching a little bit in my mid-teens. So talking to him kind of brought me back into it. And then he texted me saying that there was a show in Cardiff and that The Undertaker was advertised. And I remember just thinking, we have to go to that show. So we got tickets. And I think Jeff Hardy was on the card as well. I remember just being so excited to see the wrestlers that I'd watched when I was younger at that point.
Who was somebody that stood out to you that night that you probably didn't expect to be wowed by?
CM Punk. That was the first time I ever saw CM Punk, was at that house show. And I remember thinking, he's kind of like me. You know what I mean? I like that guy. And then that kind of threw me back into WWE at that point then.
Did you know much about, obviously you drifted away in your teens, you came back into it when you were 18. Now you've got a taste for it again. Did you have much experience with the indie scene before you went on to train? Did you have much knowledge of the indie wrestling scene in Cardiff and in Wales?
I didn't, no. Not until I started training. I sort of always wanted to go and train myself, but just couldn't kind of find anything really. You know, you Google stuff and little things pop up, but nothing that looks legit is going to come up as the first search on Google. I mean, it does now, but then it didn't. So I didn't really know much about indie wrestling at all until I started training.
What was it that made you decide? This is a popular question that we ask on here, and it's always interesting to see those moments where the light goes off. Or the light goes on, rather. What was the moment where you went, you know what, I'm back into this, I'm enjoying watching this, I actually want to get in there and do this now?
I started training quite late, really. I was 25 when I started training. I'd finished university. I went to university with LK Mezinger, who's a wrestler that I've tagged with at several promotions. And it was actually him that suggested it to me. We were out at a pub one night. We both just finished uni, kind of catching up, and he was like, I know this school in Cardiff that, you know, is doing wrestling training. Is that something you might be interested in coming along? I was like, yes, Absolutely, yes. Couldn't have been more excited.
What were you studying at university?
We both studied music.
So what would the plan have been for yourself had wrestling not come back around?
Well, I was in a metal band at the time that I'd been in since I was 19. And we were kind of doing quite well with that and playing gigs all over the UK. And that was something that I was 100% focused on pursuing. And then wrestling training came along and bit me. There's no turning back from there.
Do you think, where do you think you would have gone in the metal scene? Where do you think, how far do you think you would have gone?
I'd like to think we would have done really well. It was kind of unfortunate, like our best release came after I'd already decided I was calling it a day. So I would be very interested to have known how well that would have done had we been full steam ahead. But I'd like to think that we would have done well.
It seems like it's a career path that you could maybe even blend with the wrestling scene, the idea of somebody who is heavily into the music scene as you are and being a wrestler. Have you ever thought to combine the two elements in some way?
Not really. I know the two do kind of come hand in hand. Obviously, you got people like Chris Jericho that front a band as well as wrestling. Mark Andrews, who I train with, the same. But for me, I've always liked keeping things quite separate.
Yeah.
And, you know, people have said things like, oh, why don't you use your band's music for your entrance music? And I just like keeping things away from each other, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we will keep the music and the wrestling separated. We'll move on to the wrestling, but just wrap up the music part. Who's on your heavy metal Mount Rushmore?
Oh, now you're asking.
Throwing the big questions at you, fella. The big questions at you.
I'm a big fan of the band Every Time I Die, so I would put Keith Buckley on there. You put me on the spot with this one.
Some accuse me of asking too many probing questions. I think this might be one of the most probing questions we've ever done. We've pushing you for a heavy metal Mount Rushmore like this.
I like it though. I like it.
Well, I'll tell you what, do you want to park that? And then at the end of the interview, I'm going to want an answer.
Okay. That sounds good.
Right. Okay, we're going to park that. We're going to leave that right there. You were wrestling training, if I am correct, with Dragon Pro.
That's right, yeah.
And the names that come out of Dragon Pro Wrestling just speak volumes for the impact it has, not just on the scene locally, but nationally and internationally. Flash Morgan Webster, Mark Andrews, Wild Boar, Nixon Newell, all from there, yourself as well, more importantly. Walking into that center for the first time at the age of 25, would you have been the oldest person starting out? Would you have been the oldest rookie in the room at that point, Elijah?
I believe so. I think I was, yeah. Mm.
What was the vibe when you walked in there? What was it like walking in on your first day to training?
It was friendly, but I was definitely a little intimidated. Definitely.
That intimidated you?
A lot of big personalities in one room, I think, which is something that, you know, I'm very used to now. But at the time it was, whoa, there's a lot of people in here, even without there being a lot of people in there, if that makes sense.
The room felt quite full, even with a small number of people in there.
Yeah, definitely.
Whose personality really jumps out at you?
At the time, the head trainer was Mike Bird. And he definitely got my attention straight away. At the time, he had a sort of shaved sides on his head and a big, like, I can only describe it as fluffy ginger ponytail. Just caught my attention straight away. Okay, he's a wrestler.
So was Mike Bird the one that trained you?
For the most part, yeah. Mike Bird was there for about 18 months. And then that's when Wild Boar took over the school then. So he trained me from there on with Mark Andrews as well.
Was there any striking differences between the way that Mike Bird would train you and the way that Wild Boar would train you?
Mike was quite intense, Mike Bird. So we do a lot of cardio and a lot of stamina drills and that sort of thing, which was great. And he was super keen on kind of, you know, drilling stuff over and over and over and over again until it sticks, which I loved. And then Boar's got kind of a different approach where we really pick apart the things that we do, if that makes sense. So we'll do things our way, and then he'll pick apart that and, okay, what can you do to make that more, even more you, which I really like.
He sort of makes it, he personalizes the stuff that you're doing a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely.
Is there something that either Mike Bird or Wild Boar told you that stays with you today?
I'm not sure if I could say this.
Oh, well,
but whenever I would go through the curtain in my kind of earlier matches, Mike Bird would always say, good luck, don't be shit.
That's all right.
That's always stuck with me. And I think it, even if he's not there, I think it to myself before I go through. Okay.
It's good to have that little mantra just as you walk through, just something that kind of grounds you a little bit. I think that whether you're walking out a Dragon Pro, whether you headline a WrestleMania in a stadium somewhere, I think now it's so ingrained into your head. Go on, good luck, don't be shit. Let's go.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's there with you forever now. Let's talk about your second match for your DVD. We've got one nailed down so far, Triple H, Cactus Jack, Street Fight from the Royal Rumble 2000. What would you like your second match to be?
My second choice, I've gone with CM Punk versus The Undertaker from WrestleMania 29.
Nice. So CM Punk was a guy you saw in Cardiff that you really connected with. So this would have been after that, this match went down?
Yeah, yeah.
This is you coming back into it. What is it out of all the possible CM Punk matches you could choose? What is it about this one that resonates with you?
I love a good story, and I feel like this match just had the coolest build to it. It was shortly after Paul Bearer had unfortunately passed, and I couldn't believe it at the time, but they used that as part of the story. Mm-hmm. And just drew you right in. You had Heyman as well, was managing Punk at the time. There's the little bit on the road to the match where Heyman comes out dressed as Paul Bearer. It just I loved it so much.
there was a moment that got them in a lot of trouble with some people. And it's how you say, like, this is a very, the story to this is excellent, but it's very close to the knuckle. When Undertaker was beaten down on the ramp and CM Punk takes the urn, presumably containing Paul Bearer's actual ashes,
yep,
and pours it all over the Undertaker, like weeks after this guy had actually really passed. And the general school of thought is it's what Paul would have wanted, to have been involved in this way. What was your reaction to them doing something like that, that was so close to the knuckle?
It was shocking. It was definitely shocking. But it just made me more intrigued for the match. And then the more I think about that, the more I think that is what he would have wanted. That is what he would have wanted, was them to use that to just make that match as big a deal as they could. And they did.
Where did you remember, when did you watch this match for the first time?
I would have been at university at the time. So in a not very nice student flat, I would imagine.
was there like a collection of wrestling friends that you had at uni that would have watched it with you?
Yeah, I had a couple. I don't think I watched it with them. I distinctly remember watching this match on my own, actually, and then kind of talking about it afterwards. I think I was just laying on my bed in my student flat watching this one.
Nice. With that match, is there a moment in it that you, very much as we said with like the Triple H Cactus Jack match, is there a moment in this match that still stands out to you as something that popped you, that got you off your seat? got you off your couch even.
Yeah, I think the kind of close finishes or almost finishes in this match, I just bit to every single one because I genuinely didn't know who was going to win. That I felt like they built this in a way that Punk could have genuinely been the one to end the streak. So I was waiting for it to happen and then take a kicks out of the go to sleep. I was like, oh, okay. And then, of course, Taker prevails. And I was happy with any outcome in that match. I just wanted to see the match itself.
That's when you know you've got a good match on your hands, is it doesn't matter what the outcome is. If you're drawn into the match.
Yeah, then it was a win. Story. And I just wanted to know how the story ended. And it was perfect.
Going back to Dragon Pro, can you remember the first time that you were told, good luck, don't be shit, and walked through the curtain?
I can, yeah. My first match had Mike Bird in it. So.
Oh, in that case, he was telling you, please don't be shit.
Yeah, please don't.
That must have been a great comfort to have that. And not that it wouldn't have been anything, but, you know, you're the best work that you could offer. But to have your trainer out there with you, must have a sense of relief to have him out there.
Definitely. Like, I was so much more relaxed because of it. And I wasn't relaxed in the slightest. So that's saying something. Yeah, I mean, just knowing that you're in capable hands in your very first match, I was so lucky.
Was there something in your first match that you either were told or you look back on and realize you did too much of or not enough of?
I rush a lot. I rushed, in that first match. I remember being told, you just got to breathe. I remember almost hyperventilating from just breathing so fast and being so excited to be there. But, you know, that came to detriment my performance. As far as things I maybe did too much of, I was just too loud. I came out.
Loud?
Yeah, I came out this kind of hurricane, just excited to be there, like I said. And I remember just making the same noises kind of over and over again. No need. No need at all.
Are we talking like Cactus Jack noises? Because he's very like, a-cha, a-cha-cha, a-cha-cha, a-cha-cha. And you've got Lex Luger, who seems to offer cliff notes to every move that he does in wrestling.
Yeah.
Like constantly. Where are we on the scale there? Are we more Cactus Jack or are we more Lex Luger?
I'd say more Cactus Jack, yeah. Nice. Just kind of grunting away to myself, having a great time.
It's better to be at that end of the spectrum, normally. What's been a favourite match of yours as part of Dragon Pro? I keep talking about Dragon Pro. I know that you've done so much more than that, but I know that Dragon Pro has got a special place in the heart of the wrestling industry in Wales, and I know you've been a big part of that story. But is there a match within Dragon Pro that's been a favourite of yours?
Within Dragon Pro? Yeah. Towards the tail end of, I was going to say last year then, but it was 2019, I got to wrestle for the Dragon Pro title against a wrestler called Beano, who has had the title for over a year, I think, at that point. And it was one of those matches where everything just clicked and everything fell into place. And there was no stress, no worry. It just happened, but it happened perfectly, which is always what you want as a wrestler.
A lot of conversations have been had in wrestling in this particular week of recording, as you're hearing this last week. There's a conversation between Ryback and Mark Henry, and part of the disagreement they've had is being about titles and championships, with Ryback saying that they're merely a prop and they're not worth anything, to Mark Henry saying, actually, I've held championships in multiple sports and I hold pro wrestling as a championship in that high regard as well. What do you see on that? How do you perceive that? And how do you react when people sort of berate the idea of a wrestling championship?
I kind of see both sides, but I sway more towards agreeing with Mark Henry on that one. I think that if a title didn't mean anything, everyone would have one. But that's not the case. You have to earn it. And champions are champions for a reason. So I think to say that they mean nothing and it has no value is just, it's just not true.
That's a good shout. That's a good shout. You've said previously that you owe quite a bit to Chris Brooks in terms of your progression. Talk about your relationship with Chris Brooks.
I met Chris wrestling for Attack Pro Wrestling. I was there as ring crew at the time. And it was they do a Christmas sort of tour called the Missile Tour, or Under the Missile Tour. And he came up to me, we were having a Christmas dinner, and he came up to me and he said, have you got your wrestling gear with you today? Yes. Okay, cool. You're going to be on tonight in a pre-show match, so we can kind of see what you can do. So that happened, and then went well, wrestled for Attack from then on, really, up until now. And Chris just always looked out for me and just gave me advice on my character, my gear, you know, promos, what I look like, where I should be, who I should be talking to. He just always looked out for me. And then I ended up wrestling alongside him and Lycos in the King of Trios tournament for Shikara. So he kind of took me under his wing there as well. And that was a huge learning experience for me, especially at the time, because I was maybe a year in at that point. So I've always been very grateful.
Yeah, to be a part of the King of Trios. Oh, sadly, Chikara no longer an active promotion after last year. But that King of Trios tournament's really important. Is there a moment from that or somebody that you met during that King of Trios tournament that you remember striking up a conversation with?
I would say the guys from, I believe it was House Rot. So Hallowicked, Frightmare, those guys. I remember thinking that they would be the kind of guys that would be very quiet and keep themselves to themselves. But they were like the most friendly guys ever, just offering advice left, right, and center. Couldn't have been nicer dudes. So they were definitely a highlight for me.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hope you're enjoying our conversation on Desert Island Graps. Great conversations live at Audible. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now and get yourself a free wrestling audiobook in the process. Find out more at cultaholic.com/audible. You started all right in 2020. I think we all did, to be honest. You were start of the year, you were doing stuff with Progress. Felt really good. And then obviously COVID happened. So that's nice. That's a good thing. What was, you did your show with Progress. Was that a bit of a milestone for you to be doing more stuff with Progress? Was that a goal for this year, for last year?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Huge milestone for me. Progress, once I was training, Progress were one of the companies that I was watching regularly. So they were always a goal for me. And that debut was a Cardiff show as well. So it was a hometown show and a debut at Progress. So it was kind of, it had it all.
It was you and Chris Ridgway. Was the match everything that you hoped it would be?
It was very, very hard hitting. So in a match with Chris Ridgway, I'd say that definitely that ticks the box.
Yeah. It's been, he's a beast. When you watch him work, there is nobody else like him. Are there plans to do more stuff with Progress once things return to whatever normal is going to look like? Have you had those conversations?
I very much hope so. I very much hope that there will be more with Progress. Just really enjoyed my time there doing that one show, and I'd love to do more. They're a cool company in the UK.
How have you felt about being a part of the British wrestling scene following the conversations that were had last summer and some of the revelations that came from last summer? It's been it's always a difficult touch point for wrestling now to reflect on it. But as a result of the speaking out movement, we had a lot of difficult conversations. A lot of people came forward, and a lot of bad people were taken from the industry. And rightly so.
Yeah.
How are you feeling going into 2021 with sort of the events of that movement and how close it was to the British wrestling family? How are you feeling going into 2021 about everything?
I'm feeling more positive now. At the time, it was disheartening to see all of that. And especially, you know, some people that I know well and had a lot of trust for or toward. And I think that going forward, it's only going to be a positive thing that that's happened and that wrestlers, promoters, fans, everyone is aware that that happened and why that happened. And now we can move forward and we can build and make wrestling better. And from what I've seen so far from promotions that are planning on coming back, that's happening. And there's more legislation and there's more paperwork-based stuff to make sure that things are tidy and things are neat and everybody is aware of what needs to be done. And I think it's going to make a huge difference to how wrestling shows are put on going forward.
I think after such a rough ride through 2020, I really wanted to chat to you among a few others because you, sir, gave British wrestling a triumphant end to the year as part of You Are Cordially Invited. Which was, honest to goodness, having spent the year reporting on some of the grim stuff that's come out of wrestling, to watch you guys, led by Charles Crowley, just having fun again. It was just amazing.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the culmination of 2020. I have gathered you all here because you are some of the very best British wrestling has to offer. And I know what you want. You want to wrestle so badly, so very badly. And what I want is to put on a show. So, this is your chance. This is your chance to let off some steam, to get your hands dirty, to fight! The rules are simple. Last wrestler standing enters 2021.
Let the show begin!
talk to us about your experience of You Are Cordially Invited.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It was such a nice way to end what was a pretty horrible year, to be honest, especially with no wrestling for us, which is something we love to do. It was awesome. And just, I got sent the kind of script by Charles Crowley, and I remember just thinking, this is insane. There's no way this is going to work. And then as soon as we were there and we started piecing the scenes together, he's just got such a vision for how he wants things to be. And that made everybody's life so much easier because he knows what he wants and we've just got to give him what he needs to make that happen. So it was loads of fun. And we got to spend I was there for 2 days filming. So I got to spend time with some people that I hadn't seen all year. Do some wrestling. It got the dust off the brain because we were thinking about kind of how we were incorporating wrestling into the kind of narrative of the film as we were going along. So it just ticked all the boxes for a nice bit of wrestling to finish the year on. So I was so happy to be involved.
Now, give us a little bit of gossip from behind the scenes on it. Something that we may not have seen or a moment that made you all laugh that we might not have captured on the show reel.
Well, there's a behind the scenes video. I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh, there is, isn't there?
Yeah, but there's a lovely bit in that where Big T fell through the catering table.
Oh God, he's a big fella, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a big lad. So there were pretzels all over the floor. It was brilliant.
Oh, bless him. He looks like he gives the best hugs, does Big T, Justin?
He does as well.
It's just what I love is it's a real wonderful combination of guys from the British wrestling scene that some already know, and for some they're meeting for the first time. It's just a beautiful, heady combination of so much in there. And are we getting a sequel? Can you tell us? Is there another one?
I'm not sure if I'm...
Oh, that means yes! That means yes!
Don't quote me on that, Tom. Come on.
Oh, okay, we won't quote you. You can't see me, but I am winking. We've got one more match to get to for you, Elijah, but I like to spring this on people. Uh-oh. As well as taking, it's not bad. As well as taking 3 wrestling matches on a DVD, you're also allowed to take with you a movie, an album, and a luxury item.
Okay.
So when I say to you, you can take a movie with you, what's the first movie that you think of?
I love comedy. For me, movies have to be funny. And I know there's a lot of people that'll disagree with me on that, but I love a laugh when I'm watching a film. So I would go with I Love You, Man.
Okay. Why that one in particular?
I think Paul Rudd is the funniest man on the planet, and any movie that he's in, I'm fully invested in. And I just remember watching that film and quoting it for probably about 5 years straight. So it definitely... definitely got in the brain.
Nice. How about an album? We're assuming a metal album, but you might surprise us here.
Yeah, a lot of the music that I tend to listen to is quite kind of sad boy music, so I probably would avoid that if I was stuck on a desert island on my own.
What's the saddest sad boy music? On a little splinter question, what's the saddest sad boy music? If you're really feeling like... you want to have a sad moment, because we do get there. What song are you listening to in that moment?
I would pick a whole album for that, because being sad takes a long time sometimes.
It does take a long time.
So I would go with a band called Counterparts. They've got an album called The Difference Between Hell and Home, and it's very very internal.
Right. Okay, so if you need a sad, there's your recommendation. Yeah. But what's the album that you want to take with you, though? You don't want to take that with you, because you don't want to be sad on a desert island.
No.
No, that's fine. I get that.
Go with The Real Thing by Faith No More.
Beautiful, beautiful. Faith No More, legends of the scene.
So good.
Why that? Is there a particular reason why it's that album over others?
it's one of those albums that I just love every song on. There's no skip button needed for that album. And there's such upbeat sounding songs, even the ones that aren't upbeat in lyrics. It just, it's just such a good album. It's a motivator, I think. I listen to it a lot when I'm doing cardio, and I hate cardio, so.
What song comes on that makes you speed up, or that, that gives you that extra bit of tunnel vision during a cardio session?
Off that album in particular?
Off that album in particular.
Go with Surprise You're Dead.
Nice. Okay. I like that. And a luxury item. What are we? So this can be something that reminds you of home. It can be a creature comfort. It can be something that's personal to you. That's got some personal value. It could be a useful tool to have on the island if you want to. I'll give you some examples from the past. Nick Aldis is taking his Jaguar because of reasons. James Storm is taking toilet paper. He's a big fan of taking some toilet paper. former owner Chikara, Mike Quackenbush, said he was taking one of his lovely suits. He's going to get hot on the island. I ain't got the heart to tell him. But what about you, sir? What are you feeling?
I think I'm a man of simple needs. I'll go with a coffee machine.
Are you a coffee guy?
I am. I'm a coffee man, and I love a coffee in the morning.
How'd you take it?
I take it with a little bit of milk, no sugar.
Is there a particular brand of coffee that you go for?
I'm not that fussy, which is why I would take any coffee machine that was available.
Nice. That, a posh one with the pods, or is that too far?
No, I'd be okay with that.
Posh pod one. Yeah. I like it. I like it a lot. Okay, so we've got one more match for you, Elijah. We've had Cactus Jack and Triple H from the Royal Rumble. We had CM Punk and Undertaker from WrestleMania. What's your last one going to be, sir?
My last choice is a match from Attack Pro Wrestling. It is Pete Dunne versus Wild Boar versus Eddie Dennis in a triple threat match.
Now,
it was from How Do You Learn to Fall Off a 20-Foot Ladder in 2016.
Oh, I love the fact that we have pay-per-views named after those calls from JR.
Yeah.
That's the finest work. So this match in particular, were you there for that one?
I was. I was ring crew for this match. So I was literally a foot away from the ring for this whole match.
Talk to us about something you saw in that match when you were up close, a foot away from it, that genuinely blew your mind. Was there a moment that rocked and shocked you?
There is a moment in this match where all three men have a steel chair and they do a lovely sequence of kind of swinging and missing and eventually hitting each other with the chairs that leads to all three of them being down on the floor. And I remember the crowd erupting and I just thought, this is the coolest and I cannot wait until I'm in there doing this myself. At that point, I hadn't had a match myself yet. So to see that reaction, it was in a venue in Cardiff called Walkabout. To see that reaction to wrestling in my hometown, it just made me want to be a wrestler even more.
How far away were we from you becoming a wrestler at this particular point?
A few months. Mm. Yeah, I think my first match was literally 2 months after this.
And were you there every time? I know because you talk about how you had the whole, have you got your gear with you? You're in type conversation. Is that, would you have your gear with you every single time? Because it's good to talk about these things because quite often we do get people asking about like how do they get into the wrestling scene? And it isn't as cut and dry as you train, then you wrestle. Because as you say yourself, you were ring crew. You were part of building the shows, you know, and keeping it all ticking over before you even stepped into the ring.
Yeah, exactly. And it was always a case of you just had your gear with you because you never know when an opportunity is going to come up. And I think I was kind of a prime example of that attack, especially. So I would be there and I would help set the ring up, like I said, and ring crew and be beside the ring for the whole show. And then one day, do you have your gear with you? And then that opportunity just arises. So... yeah.
All three guys now at different levels within WWE. We've got Eddie Dennis and Wildboar, who are part of NXT UK, flying the flag there and teaming together, which is nice to see.
Yeah.
Do you keep up with NXT UK?
I do, yeah. Obviously, Wildboar and Mark Andrews, both my trainers. I got a few friends there as well. So I do like to keep up with it and see what everyone's up to every week, especially now that there's such a small amount of wrestling happening in the UK. That is one place where it is still happening. So I do like to watch it and see what everyone's up to.
And Pete Dunne himself is over in the States as part of NXT. A bookie's favorite to become an NXT, the NXT champion before the end of this calendar year, which is phenomenal when you think back to watching him at Attack Pro to doing that now. Do you remember having many conversations with Pete Dunne on your personal journey through?
Yeah, a fair few. I've always been lucky to watch wrestling with Pete when he's been at Attack, kind of from backstage, watching the matches that are happening and kind of hearing his thoughts on them as they're happening is so useful. You know, not necessarily advice, but just hearing his opinion on what's happening is so beneficial to kind of understanding why things are happening at what time.
It's a cliche question. I think it's always interesting to ask it anyway. Is that avenue, doing NXT UK and NXT, is that a path that you would like to go down? And if so, how would you like to be able to do it?
I think eventually one day, yeah, definitely. Right now, as soon as it's possible to do so, I just want to wrestle on the independents and make kind of as much a name for myself as I can in the meantime. And then perhaps down the road, that might be an option for me.
And if people want to get your name out there now, and if people want to find out more about what you are up to, where can they find you online, sir?
I'm Elijah Wrestler on Instagram and on Twitter.
And I haven't forgotten, we need your heavy metal rap, Mount Rushmore.
You do.
You've had time now.
Come on. Okay.
No, we're not letting you go. This will go. Hey, I'm running this. We've had the ad break. I'm running this. It's the last thing you need to do. You've got to give us the Mount Rushmore.
Okay. I think I've got one.
All right.
Well, I've got 3 out of 4 and I'm going to win the last one. So I said Keith Buckley from Every Time I Die. I think he's the coolest lyricist in metal ever. I'm going with Mike Patton because we talked about Faith No More already.
Nice.
I think just so versatile as a singer. I'm picking Nuno Bettencourt from Extreme because he's okay. The most underrated guitarist in the world.
Beautiful. Yeah, I think in More Than Words, people forget the power of the guitar in that.
Nice. And then I've got to choose number 4. I'm going to go with David Lee Roth as number 4.
Good shout. That's a thing. That wasn't so hard, was it?
No, we got there in the end.
Heavy metal Mount Rushmore from Elijah. That's what we like.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.